Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We still have the Friday gathering to come. Also news on the National Ploughing Championships on the way. But now the changing season and longer days make thoughts and tastes turn to lighter spring and summer dishes. So if you hope to ditch the cosy casseroles, slow-cooked stews and rich roast dinners of winter, but you don't want to compromise on taste and flavour, what dishes should you be thinking about? Well, joining me on the line now with some quick, healthy recipes to tantalise our taste buds and deliver on flavour is Donegal chef Brian McDermott. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Claire.
Listing out all of those winter dishes make me long for them, actually. But we do need to start turning to summer and thinking about the fresh tastes that are available to us. But before we go to there, I want to congratulate you first. You won a Producer's Champion Award.
We did, Claire, and thank you. Yeah, that was the Blas na Héireann, which is the Irish Food Award. So it was an award, I suppose, really nominated by the producers of Ireland. And it's one that I'll carry with a lot of honour because they, like everyone else, they've had a tough year. But you know what? Us chefs have got to say this. Without food, without producers, we have nothing. They're the champions and they're the heroes and they always will be in my book.
I think the one thing we learned over the course of the pandemic as well is that we have such rich produce, food, ingredients available to us here on this island. We're so lucky.
I think we are. And I think, you know, the last sort of maybe 5 or 6 years, we've all started to champion and shout that internationally. And then, of course, we all get parochial and we all think, well, our food in our region is better, you know, but we are an island. We're a small island. We're rich in terms of the rainfall, which has an advantage on our food and whether it's our beef or whether it's our milk, our cheese or our dairy industry. There is something beautiful about that. And to collectively shout and roar about that on an international platform, we've got to continue to do because we too often come back from, well, previously international holidays and talk about the food experience in that area. But you know what? The people who come to Ireland and leave and our staycation visits, we're starting to talk about what we do and what we do well and the people who produce it. And that is what it will always be about.
Now, a couple of months ago, I wouldn't have thanked you for a cold salad, even if you'd made it, Brian. But you see, the days get longer, a little bit of heat. And we think I'd want to move away from the roast dinners, as I was saying there, onto some lighter fare. We're all in that place now.
Yeah, definitely. And it's almost like May for me kind of brings in when do you put away the winter coat or do you not? And it's the same with food. You're transitioning across and then you wake up tomorrow morning and you think, God, it's bloody cold again. You know, are we back to something sort of hotter? But it will start to change. We will start to see that lightness. And that brings about a positivity and a mood about us and a vibrancy with a stretch in the evenings. And that can factor down in, Claire, to how we eat as well. But I think it's still important that we have flavour because we need to enjoy our food. If you enjoy your food, you'll eat the right amount of it. If you eat the right amount of it, you'll feel a lot better within yourself. And of course, we're walking more, we're getting out more. So we can afford to eat a little bit more and we can allow that just to be burned off. But simple things like burning, you know, or like bringing the flavours together, they don't change because food is about layers, simple things if we're going to go a light soup. I mean, I have a recipe here today for a red lentil soup. You know, they're in the store cupboard. They've been hibernating all winter. Get them out, they're red, soak them in water. And then to start the sweating process, that's a key word. Things like onion and garlic, don't ever underestimate the importance of sweating that and a little bit of Irish rapeseed oil. They develop that layer of flavour at the base and the bottom. And then, of course, if you add something like smoked bacon or I suppose I'm saying here today, lardons, you know, or pancetta and being a little bit posh, but literally smoked bacon, will you do? Yeah,
that'll bring in lovely flavour. Chopped up rasher, Brian, I think that's what you mean.
Basically, or if you've got one left over from the weekend, the day before, from the fry up, chop it up, put it in, it'll release the salt, it'll release the sweetness, the beautiful smoked flavour. They're all flavours that hang in your tongue, but they need heat to bring them out further. But those simple 3 to 4 ingredients is a great base and then bring in your carrots for sweetness. Beautiful.
On the lentil front, you mentioned soaking them. Now, if I was throwing those into a stew, I would just throw them in. Or I didn't really think that much about soaking them. When do you need to soak them and why?
About 15 or 20 minutes before you start the cooking process for a couple of reasons. It wakes them up. You know, they've been in the dark of your cupboard. And because they are, you know, a cereal and a grain, what you want to do, cold water, just slowly let the water absorb in. That actually, in turn, Claire, speeds up the cooking. So you're not waiting ages, tasting your soup or your stew and going, my God, they're still a little bit bitty. So it cuts the cooking down time down by about half, which is what I love about it. And for a quick soup, you don't want a soup that's going to take 4 hours. Soup needs to be quick. You want more time outside, less time in the kitchen, soup bubbling away. And, you know, we're topping that up with a good fresh stock, seasoning it with a couple of herbs and a little bit of tomato if you wish, and then into a blender for this beautiful, smooth, summery soup. And how I finish that one off, Claire, is I hold back a little bit of bacon that's nice and crispy, put it on the top with a little drizzle of the rapeseed oil. Then you're going into sort of, am I chefy? No, absolutely not at home. You deserve to do that for the 10 seconds that it takes. And, you know, the reward you get from family that say, oh my God, that is amazing. And it tastes good, full of goodness and full of the nutrition. And you'll be sitting in a bowl, outside or inside. You decide based on the weather. You'll love it.
Are you happy for us to use tinned lentils ever?
Oh, Claire, I heard you a couple of weeks ago and I says, now Claire's doing a bit of cheating at home there. And the next time I see her now, she might get a rap in the knuckles for that. So you've just walked straight into it.
Okay, go on. I can take it. It's Friday.
No, and of course you can with the likes of lentils and, you know, any of the kind of chickpeas and things like that. They're total convenience. They're perfectly fine in a tin. When it comes to a pasta sauce, now I may argue different in relation to making that. I think
you can make one just as quick. We were talking to Agnes Boucher-Hayes about convenience foods and shortcuts.
Yeah.
And the pasta sauce was the one that got to you, was it?
It was a little bit. I was driving along the Wild Atlantic Way coast here and I actually pulled in. I thought, my God, can I say this publicly? And I won't. And here I am now going, Claire, that was my exact reaction.
If we caused you to pull in off the road, Brian, you're going to have to say it now that you have the chance. Go for it.
Yeah, well, the argument I was going to put forward is, come on here. We're talking here about, you know, a tomato-based sauce that you're going to put together by exactly what I said, sweating off in Irish rapeseed oil, a little bit of onion, a little bit of garlic, some oregano in the form of herbs, and then go for your tinned tomatoes, which is very consistent because we don't grow tomatoes all year round in Ireland. Sweat that off, a little bit of stock, let it simmer, season it up, and you have the most perfect, beautiful, in about 12 to 15 minutes, pasta sauce that has very little salt in it, no additives, no preserves, and you know what, Claire, put that into meatballs or just into some pasta that's cooked in the same time alongside it. In 15 minutes, you'll be sitting with that, dribbling over your knee in a bowl, going, God, I'm glad I did that.
Brian, you're not going to get an argument here because I agree with you, and it's as quick, you know, it's as quick.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So,
tell me about
more convenience.
Tell me about the meatballs then, Brian, because people have different ways of doing meatballs. You add a bit of pork to the mincemeat.
I do, and I think meatballs are great this time of year because you're still hanging on to a bit of the meat. It's like having the winter coat on the stairway. You know, you're going to grab it if you need it. And that's what I think about meatballs because, first of all, they appeal to everybody. Everybody likes a meatball. And by putting pork in there, you're adding a different dimension of flavour. So I put in about 25% pork meat to minced beef. What I also do is I fry off some onions and I put them into the raw mince, and that gives a lovely caramelised flavour. I pop in an egg. I season it with just a little pinch of salt and some black pepper. And then I put breadcrumb and I get in with my hands and I lightly mix it till they form together. And using the palm of your hand, roll them into little balls, Claire, and just let them chill, pan fry them. And while they're pan frying, you make the pasta sauce that we've just described.
Yeah.
And then pop those meatballs into the pasta sauce, allow it all to simmer. And what happens is the meatballs absorb in that beautiful, fresh, clean, healthy tomato sauce and serve that up with pasta. That will be a winner. And it's really easy and really tasty.
Bit of cheese on top,
oh,
Brian.
Absolutely. And fresh basil if you can get it.
A fish pie. Oh, listen, the last time you were on, I think we were talking about lamb hot pot, or maybe it was the time before.
Mm.
I made that and it was a great success. We've had it a couple of times. It's a real children pleaser.
It is funny. And you know what? When it's in the one pot, the work gets done. You think, Claire, with someone else's recipe, I'm sure you've experienced that. You're going through it, you're ticking it, and you're going, God, that seems a lot of ingredients. And because you're following it for the first time. But after you do that, it's easier. You make it your own, you change it. And the inclusion in the conversation within family, because remember when you're cooking, I mean, our weekend cooking is slightly different, I believe, from midweek. But mm-hmm. Who are you cooking for? You're cooking for your family. They're your audience. What do they like versus what you like? Because you being the cook can't drive this towards your flavours. Everybody's got to be happy, and the hot pot does that.
Okay, so the fish pie now is on the agenda and I want to know the best way to do it. You poach the fish in milk.
Yeah, funny, my mum did that, and you know, with 14 of us in the house, she basically boiled it and she just threw what we called red fish. It seems to be a bit of a regional word, but red fish being the smoke, being the dye. So nowadays I prefer to go for the rusted colour, which is a natural smoked fish, which you can get absolutely anywhere. Mm-hmm. When you pop that into the milk, poaching is not boiling, okay? Poaching is like your glass of lemonade or champagne, those light bubbles. It won't break up the fish, but what the smoke does is it flavours the milk, and that's the key to the sauce for the fish pie. 7 minutes, take the fish out and leave it somewhere warm. And then your standard roux of melting your butter and your flour and whisking in that milk, which has a bay leaf in there as well.
Okay, and what happens when it all goes lumpy? Why does it all go lumpy sometimes?
Well, first of all, if you're not staying with it, and there with a whisk and continue to whisk it, and also cold, which won't be the case here, but cold liquid going into roux will also make it a little bit lumpy. So what you need to do is slowly add it, whisk it, watch it as it thickens in front of your eyes, but remember it still has to cook out. Stay with it for the 4 or 5 minutes, simmering it, whisking it continuously. The cheese, it'll seem a bit thick in the recipe. The cheese then will release its oil and natural flavour, and leave that aside. You have a beautiful sauce. And then the rest is just down to having vegetables of your choice, the likes of carrot, celery, onion and leek. Sweat it again, one by one, so that the flavour builds up as you're coming along. And then when those are sweated and soft, you bring everything together and a beautiful mashed potato with lots of butter and a bit of the cheese on the top of it. And don't spend too much time. Just make that as rustic looking as you can into your oven, bake that up, and you'll just find the sauce oozing out, the fish staying together, hasn't disintegrated and broken up. And again, it's the centre of the table. All you need to do is your whatever's at home, 4 or 5 people, plates out that are warm, spoon in the middle, and you have the complete meal in one dish. That's what I love about a fish pie.
And a bowl of peas.
Yes, mushy peas, absolutely. Or the marrow fat. Oh, either or. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. That's a great tip.
All of Brian's recipes are on rte.ie/todaycb, by the way. We might have time for one quick one. And this is a quick one. 15-minute orzo pasta with bacon and cabbage.
Yeah, take pasta and we think Italians. No, not Italians, Irish. The wheat, we can grow it, we produce it. And the little orzo pasta, you look and you think, oh, what's that? Now I haven't heard of that before. I always say to people, if you're in your supermarket, look left, right, up and down, not what you're looking for. You'll see little alternatives and you'll think, God, that looks like rice. I wonder what it's like. I love it because it's like little sponges. They absorb in the flavour, cooks in about 8 minutes. But all I'm doing here is I'm using the bacon again and I'm using an Irish thing with cabbage. So I'm starting with some garlic and an onion. I'm putting it into the butter and I'm going to add to that the bacon for that base flavour again. The pasta's cooking separate and bringing them both together. A little bit of cream, if you wish, going in there. And then that'll richen it up. But you know what? At the weekend, are we that bothered that we're going to have a little bit of cream in there for flavour? And the cabbage cooked separately. Into it or peas, Claire, that also works exceptionally well.
I think I'd prefer the peas in this. The cabbage, are you shredding that and steaming it, Brian?
Yeah, okay. So with young cabbage at the minute, we're bang in season in May. May, we're a little bit behind this year because it's a bit cooler. But what you think of May when you think of foods is you think of green, young cabbage and things like that starting to come into season, which means a couple of things. They're in abundance, they're cheaper, they're full of flavour, and that's the best time to get them. So there's a great word called a chiffonade cabbage, which is a chef word. Forget that. It just means roll up the leaves, shred it, and that's what a chiffonade is. Mm-hmm. Put that into boiling water. Just a few minutes for young cabbage leaves to take the bitterness out of them. Drain that and then add that back into your orzo pasta. And in this case, for me, I'd be putting loads of cheese over the top of it. It looks like a little sort of poor man's risotto type situation, which I'm quite happy to champion, but it's a beautiful bowl of food. And again, I think it's something you can experiment with other vegetables as well.
Brian, they're telling me I have to stop talking to you because we need to move on, but you know, we could keep going.
I thought you were getting hungry.
I am. We'll be back with you very soon on the programme. Thank you so much for being with us. And again, all of Brian's recipes available on rte.ie/CB. I'll be talking to Anna Marie McHugh from the National Ploughing Association in a minute.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.